Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Good morning, Rob. How you doing?
Hi, Rob.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everything?
Good. What is on your mind?
What is on our mind, Rob? Well, we'll be teaming this Friday. Here in the Gables. We have met with a couple of, I don't recall where we left off, to be honest, but we have met with...
I have my notes here. We left off on everything we had done with our financial plan, how we went through the five-star model, how we organized all of it, how we did our ideal days, we planned our days hour by hour, we discussed for what the allotted time to acquisition, what that activity looked like. We worked on a business plan the last time we talked, and we broke it down detail by detail. You helped us, you know, kind of fine line it a little bit more, and that's pretty much where we left off.
All right, good. So I thought it would be fun to give you some. Give you the questions before the test. You know, we're going to, according to what Nico wants, he wants me to stand up and give people kind of an update on Supernova, and then to call on you guys to answer questions regarding your experience with Supernova. And so I was trying to think about that. I think you're great. You're going to give a great testimonial, but I thought I'd give you some theoretical questions and see if they work and whether or not that would work for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We need a spokesperson for this.
Asking him the questions. Yeah, I'll be asking him the questions, but he'll be answering.
Oh, that's true.
That was me. No, that's not. You're both very enthusiastic. All right, so he doesn't want me to spend much time on segmentation, but I think it's really important to establish the benefits of segmentation and creating your ideal day and your ideal client and your minimums and maximums and all that. So my question will be something like this. How has Supernova helped you to save time?
Okay.
So how would you answer that?
Well, basically, just the structure of it, it's turnkey, and it, you know, obviously it's not turnkey because you have to put a lot of work in doing the segmentation and all that. But it helps the as far as saving time goes, it helps to know how your day is structured when you come in, and you know what your day is already going to look like, your week is going to look like, and as we actually discussed this with Nico. And Abe had a similar story as well, is that, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're professionals, right? Just like a basketball player, no matter what's going on in their, in their personal life, you know, you have to perform. So, you know, for us personally, we've gotten some health concerns with our kids, you know, and thankfully they're fine, you know, there's nothing, you know, serious, but, you know, they're getting better, and we think we found a solution, but, you know, in those days when you really don't know where your head is at, and you come into the office and everything is set up for you already, you just have to, you know, perform, you don't have to worry about everything else.
So that's great. Now, did you guys, I mean, there was a lot of anticipation before you started Supernova in terms of segmenting your book and getting down to your core and all that. How did you deal with that, and was that a big deal for you or not?
Well, the way we dealt with it is that we probably went overboard.
Yeah, that may not be a good question for us, because it took us a year to warm up to supernova. I was in the peak of my whole autoimmune dealing with my health, and I didn't have a complete grasp on it. So we just didn't feel like it was the right time, so it took us about a year.
Yeah, but that's not the question. The question is how we went through the segmentation.
Oh,
and we started implementing it on our own before we did.
Yeah, before we started with you, Rob, we pretty much had already cut our book down to, minimal.
What I was going to say is that we were under the impression, because we hadn't been working with Rob, was that we were only allowed 100 clients total. So we went, we went out overboard, and not overboard, but we went out and we cut a lot of fat from the practice, right? We probably cut down to about a quarter of our book. We cut over 100 clients from our role. Later we found out that, it was 100 each, but even that we think it's a little high for us. So we're going to save about that 70, 75 for each, going forward.
So do you think that saved you time? I mean, it took time to do it, but do you think because you have fewer clients now, you have less interruptions and it actually is a time saver?
Absolutely. This past month is a great testament of that, because we don't, since we're having these calls with these clients, we've been keeping them abreast of what's going on in the market even before it happens, right? So we haven't been receiving a lot of emails or a lot of phone calls from our clients panicking. And as a matter of fact, when I do have, the scheduled call with the client, obviously I send out emails when things happen, just to keep them up to date. But when I do have these calls with the clients and I tell them, what was your reaction to all this volatility we went through? And the overwhelming majority of them say, well, I was expecting it. You told me it was going to happen last month. So I was
excited. It's really good. Yeah, that's the sort of thing. So, if a lawyer was going to ask you questions, right, and you were going to do a deposition and prepare for testimony, he'd tell you to keep your answers short and to the point, okay? All right, so let's think about that a little bit when you answer these questions. So focus on, you got to the point. It took you a while to get around to it, though.
Correct.
Right? So you by segmenting, you're better organized, you have more time, you have fewer calls, and people were well prepared. So your performance is probably actually better because people didn't panic. Right? They didn't panic themselves. And so your overall performance over time is going to be much better because they're better trained.
Yes.
So that's to me, that's what you just said, okay? It just took a while to get around to it. All right?
Correct.
So you might want to just make a note of that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So along those lines, how has Supernova helped you to become more organized? What was it like before? What's it like now?
Before it was reactive rather than proactive. Just come in and whatever the day dealt us was whatever the day turned out to be.
Well, and the time to be going, calling clients back and forth. Schedule appointments, and then some of those appointments would cancel, and that takes a lot of time. When we would have these quarterly reports, reviews with clients, scheduling them would take a long time, and then in addition to all these quarterly reviews, all of the additional phone calls from clients, reacting to
situations, or so I think it's to streamline the business where things just go much smoother and everything is much more organized.
It still takes time to do those phone calls and people still cancel them, right? So
yeah.
What's the difference?
Well, it's the system, right? You know, we already have the agenda, basically the blueprint for the agenda, so we know what's going to go into each meeting, right? Whether it's a monthly call or a quarterly call, you know, we're dealing with a topic. For instance, this month we're dealing with long-term care. You know, we have that system. So if a client, as you mentioned, that a client will cancel a meeting on you, I had a client scheduled today for 1 o'clock and she sent an email that she canceled. So it's just, you know, the agenda's already prepared, everything's prepared. It's, you know, when we reschedule, it's just updating the reports and that's it.
Yeah. Good. Okay, good answer. That's good, solid. That's good. It's working. Reactive versus proactive. Now we're proactive. Standardized, better. Okay, agenda, topics, months. Okay, that's good. So you guys just feel more comfortable.
And by the fact that we're proactive rather than reactive, it does give us time to lean and work on our business and instead of in the business, and it gives us, you know, the growth as far as assets go hasn't really taken off yet, but where the activity has, right? We're getting a lot more activity, we're meeting with more COIs, with more referrals. Some of those referrals may not be the ideal client we're looking for, but before we had no structure for that. And as a matter of fact, before, if we did get a referral, we didn't know what we were going to do with them, but we weren't prepared to handle the ideal client that we're looking for now.
All right, so what is your ideal client?
To clients that like us and trust us, and we like them and trust them. The asset size is $2.5 million, and that they're willing to do fee-based, the involvement of fee-based kind of practice, and is
mm-hmm.
and want to do a financial plan and work off of the financial plan.
That's good. The more definitive you are about that, the stronger you will appear, okay? Meaning, you know, when you say that very decisively, this is what we do.
Give me the confidence to fire a close to $1 million client this week.
Great. That's a huge point. That's really important. All right, let's talk a little, so we talked about the ideal day. Tell me a little about your day and how you structure it. When do you prospect? When do you call clients? What's your day look like and how's that, you know, I know it's changed dramatically, so we don't need to go into that, but, and why do you structure your day, week, month? Like you have.
For me personally, I prospect between in the morning up to 11 a.m. I handle client, you know, appointments, prep work, everything that goes into client servicing from 11 to 3 p.m. And then I, depending on what day it is, whether Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, I do acquisition again for another hour, from 3 to 4, And then on Tuesday, Thursdays, instead of from 3 to 4 doing acquisition, I do from 3 to 4.30 focusing on my VP role, and then 4.30 to 6 p.m. acquisition.
Oh, okay, great. So how do you, that brings me to the next question, which is, how do you keep your team organized as a team? And what I'm hinting at is, you know, your meetings, your five-star model structure. Talk a little about that and how you manage that, when do you meet, and that sort of thing.
Rohan and I have acquisition meetings on Mondays, and we focus on that on Monday afternoons from 1 to 2.30. We have our regular team meeting after our call on Wednesdays, or if, you know, the days that we have a call after our call, if not Wednesdays at noon, and then we have our five-star meeting on Thursdays.
The five-star process is we've organized our team where every team member has a particular specific role. You know, and those roles have been assigned per team member, and it doesn't mean that every team member will not participate in that activity, but someone's responsible, you know, overseeing that part of the business. For instance, you know, we have a VP of planning that's responsible for all financial planning. And out of the topics that go within the planning process, we have a VP of implementation who handles, you know, more of a quality assurance leader. They oversee the implementation of the team strategy, you know, all across the board for every single client. They oversee our investment matrix, our 24-month calendar, which is a topic calendar that we use in our monthly calls. You know, they're responsible for streamlining all investments. And we also have a VP of brand and service, which this person is responsible for all of the segmentation, which is a 1242 system, which is our monthly call system with clients. They're responsible for all compliance issues within the team. And we also have set up, you know, this person is responsible for our rapid response team, which is a 3-hour resolution for clients.
She missed a part of the story that I read before.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I can go on for a minute.
Basically, we have, you know, five different VPs, which is a five-star model, and, you know, we have different people on our team assigned for that, and then we meet, and, you know, different people on our team are assigned for responsibilities for that, but we're all participating in each one of the models. But we meet on Thursday and catch up and see where we're at as a team and what needs to be implemented and what needs to be worked on.
Yeah, it's not everything I said.
So how do you tie your business plan into the five-star model?
Well, there's one of the five stars is acquisition. So we, you know, as part of our business plan, as far as, you know, growing. Also, the other one is implementation. We want to keep, you know, our investment process simplified. So that's part of the business model as well. As I discussed, we want clients that want to do financial planning. That's one of the models that we work on as well. You know, that's one of the five-star model. And we make sure that none of the clients are without a financial plan.
All right, just to clarify, here's what I would say is that when we built the five-star model, we created our business plan from it by simply taking each of the stars and setting a goal for the year in each area. And then in that Thursday meeting, we track our success versus that goal broken down on a weekly basis.
Okay.
Because I think that's what you did, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes these things are hard to, you don't articulate them often, so it's hard to articulate exactly what it is that an audience would want to hear. In this case, you know, you just want to be as simple and clear as you can be, because you'll be surprised at how they will not get it. You know, they will not understand. You think, well, I said that pretty clearly. Well, being one that tries, you know, the natural result of communication is misunderstanding. Okay? As you know with kids, you know, they just don't hear you.
Yeah.
And the same with adults. They're not really listening. And so for us to get anything across to them, it has to be really clear and simple. All right, you think, well, I want to make it elaborate. No, you don't need to make it elaborate for the beginning of your answer. You want to make it as clear as possible. And then they'll say, so what do you do in the meeting? You know, and then you can say, for example, and then just go into one of the five stars and talk about what you do in that star. Okay? To set the goal and then to follow up each week and how are you doing versus that. The other thing is, it's important to know the difference between doing it and not doing it. Okay? So this concept of contrast is really important for clients to get it. You know, for them to say, I need that. For them to say that, they need to see a clear contrast. So the more you can articulate contrast, the more it will be important for them to, the more they see it, the clearer it is. So for example, you know, you can say, well, we didn't really have a business plan before. We had something written on a piece of paper, and we had some ideas as to what we were doing. I mean, be truthful as to what we were doing, but we didn't meet about on it. You know, we'd meet, we'd talk about our business and what we were trying to do, but we didn't have any structure around our financial, our business plan. Now we have structure, so we don't forget things. For example, we don't forget that we've got a goal for financial planning. And all of a sudden wake up halfway through the year and we haven't done any financial plans. So we're aware every week as to what our goal is and how we're tracking that. And that's the difference between what we were doing before and what we're doing now. Okay? This can be very helpful to talking in terms of selling, too. When you're selling to clients, you can talk about, you know, what it is that clients were doing. You know, this is what our typical client used to do. But today, with our model, this is what their experience is like. That can be very important in terms of selling. To compare and contrast the old with the new. And the client is then going to go, yeah, that's me. You know, you can say, before we took on, for example, let me give you an example, and this is what you say to them, but let me give you an example of what it was like for one of our clients. Before we took on this client, he wouldn't hear from his financial advisor, maybe a couple times a year, maybe quarterly, but he wouldn't know when that was going to be. It wasn't scheduled. And sometimes there would be just random calls during the month, which would interrupt me and so forth. Okay, so that's that's an example of what it was like before. And you might say, this client didn't really know where they were in terms of their performance. They didn't know where they were in terms of their asset allocation all the time. They didn't know where they were in terms of reaching their goals for putting their son through school. So let me compare that to what we've done for this client since then. Now he has a financial plan. He knows exactly what the asset allocation is. He knows exactly what it's going to take for Johnny to get to Harvard. They know exactly what it's going to take. And they know what their performance is, not quarterly or not semi-annually or annually. They know what it is every month. We prepare them for downturns in the market. We articulate what the economy is going to be doing. And frankly, their performance has been better, not because we're magical or we have any better understanding of a stock market, but we have a better understanding of the client. And we're more on top of things. So their performance has actually been better. And keeping people in the market is as important as getting them to rebalance when things get out of line. So, I mean, I'm not probably articulating that as well as you could, but the idea is to give them compare and contrast. It makes it easy for the client to see, and they go, oh, that's me. I haven't heard from my guy, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what we want to do in terms of this audience, is to make compare and contrast. Not that you weren't good. You were great before. But the idea is the more contrast there is, the more interesting it is. So even for dramatic purposes, it's better to make it as different as possible. No, you weren't in chaos. You were good. But you had a lot of, the interesting things is when we first started talking, the issues that you talked about then kind of disappeared. I'm not sure we solved them. They just kind of disappeared. They didn't become important issues. And that's what I find with most people that do Supernova. The issues that they used to articulate why it was that they weren't growing or couldn't be organized or couldn't be Supernova or, they were different because this was their problem, all those things kind of go away. One FA that I was, coaching, she didn't have a sales assistant, and so that was the big reason she couldn't grow. Another one had a team that had just, they had just bought a business or had acquired a business, and there were a lot of accounts, and they had to talk to all of them, and they didn't have time to grow. But that went away. That we haven't talked about that since like the first week. So everybody has their stories, but they're frankly, they're more excuses than they are reality, and they fill the void when they don't have something really organized. And I can't remember what your guy's story was before we talked. Maybe you didn't have one, but I think those things go away. Is that
we can have our first situations.
You hit them all. But isn't it interesting that we haven't talked about those things? And they frankly, they don't even come up, right? And I don't think they come up in your thinking as much. And I think it's because you get busy. You're busy doing your job. You're too busy to think about problems. You solve them or go around them, right? you don't have time to really sit there and dwell on them.
Yeah.
All right, so is any of that make sense that I articulated there?
Yes, it all makes sense, and you articulated it very nicely. You say we probably could articulate it better, but I don't think so. We're going to go back, and you can have Lori or send us a copy of today's call so you can take notes.
Sure.
For Friday's meeting.
Yeah, good. Well, it's just, you know, I thought we'd use this opportunity because it's helpful for me to hear you, because sometimes when I hear you, I think that maybe you missed, you know, you got it completely, or there's a piece that maybe I need to go back and re-emphasize. You know, sometimes we miss things. But, and so that's why this is such a brilliant thing for you guys. Okay, having this meeting, this kind of this checkup,
yes,
where I'm coming to visit, it's sort of like a final exam. You know, you gotta, or have a midterm exam where you really have to, you gotta put it down on paper and study and get ready and then articulate it for an oral exam. It's very helpful because you get better. Especially when you teach others, you get much better.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Yeah, well, it's one thing to do it. It's another thing to articulate what it is that you're doing. Larry Wilson used to call that becoming consciously competent. You're unconsciously competent. You're just doing it and it's working, but then when you have to teach somebody else or articulate what it is you're doing, you become consciously competent, and therefore you can then repeat it. It's so interesting because people will have successful rituals and then they'll just stop using them. And you're like, why? Why did you stop doing that? And they have no answer. And to me, the answer is that they really didn't understand what it was that was giving them the success. Or they wouldn't have stopped doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that happens all the time, by the way. That's not just a one-off. That's a very common thing. People have a tremendous success with something, and then they stop doing it either because they become too busy, or they just get distracted. And that's one of the reasons that the five-star model is so helpful. Is that it keeps you focused on what it is you said was important in the beginning of the year and gives you structure around that.
I have a question, Rob, when you're done.
No, go ahead. I'm done. That's enough fun to
do. You just said, you know, spark a thought in my mind, and I want to get your input. Rick and I are looking at each other.
We're all part of what you just said.
Yeah. Because, you know, when it comes to the segmentation and doing the best and possible thing for our clients, that there's a process in place. Everything's pre-scheduled. Everything's done. But, you know, over the last month, the acquisition, you know, there are a lot of things, life, like you say, a lot of things were thrown at us. I personally not feeling well, like I had a flare, and I'm not even going to get into it, doesn't matter. But a lot of things were thrown at us, and it seems like because it's not a forced type of thing, like we have a client waiting on the other lines, you know, for you that day, the acquisition did not go exactly like we, you know, the meetings and our schedule did not go exactly as we would have liked. What can we do to kind of prevent that or work around that?
Now, that being said, you know, it didn't go as ideally as we liked it, but it went significantly better than it went before we started the program.
Yeah.
There was, you know, we didn't have TOI meetings, we didn't have meetings with prospects.
We did.
It's just, you know, it wasn't ideally what we had set our days out to be like, but it was much better improvement than in the past.
And these are things that just work. I mean, I'm talking about it. Yesterday I had to spend the day with my daughter. She had a chemical burn to her eyes.
Oh. I had to take her to the hospital yesterday. Asking me, I mean, it's just been things that are out of our control. So it's like we have these conversations, but it frustrates me when these things happen and it kind of throws us off. I want to, you know, not perfection, but I want to really stick to this 100%. And when we get, life happens and you get thrown off, it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
Okay, so what Ricardo said is really important. And I would articulate this conversation when I asked about acquisition to say that here's the difference. Had we no structure, when life showed up as it did this month, we would have been thrown for a loop. All right? And we would have done virtually nothing in acquisition, maybe a couple of things. But we were going along with great structure, and then, again, we had to interrupt it. But we still were able to have our Centers of Influence meetings, to meet with our prospects, and to have a reasonable amount of acquisition going on in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the market crash, okay? In the middle of all that, we were still doing acquisition. Was it as good as we wanted? No. We talked to Rob about how do we keep ourselves on track. I frankly think you did great. Okay? This is the time you pat yourself on the back and say, you know what? In spite of life showing up, we did great. The market went down, we did great. People didn't panic, we didn't sell them out, we didn't have a problem. We did great. Pat on the back. Kids are healthy. I'm back healthy. Let's go after it again. So how do you do it? You don't kill yourself when life shows up. That's how you do it. Okay? Give yourself a break. You had a tough time. Back on the horse. Let's go. All right? Because, and just keep having those, and people say, how do you do it? How do you keep on the track? We have our meetings. Regardless of what's going on, we have our meetings. We take the music together. We didn't do this. We didn't do this. It's okay, but we're having our meeting anyway. Just don't ever stop having the meetings. That's the key thing.
Well, the other thing is, you know, you fell off the horse, but the structure's already there, so it's pretty easy to justify a problem.
Right. You have the process. You have the ritual.
Yeah.
It's like working out, right? I bet you stopped working out because of this.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm actually, yes, absolutely true. Because I finally had suffered from horrible fatigue, and finally I got the strength, and I signed up to move it, and I started going, and I was going 2 to 3 times a week, and after this all happened, I just yesterday, I did a 15-minute workout, and Ray completely fell off. Yes, that's true.
Okay, so what do you do? What do you do? You get back on the horse, right? You get back. Don't kill yourself. Don't say I'm terrible and I can't do it and I'm awful. It isn't the amount of time that you're off the horse that matters, okay? The idea is how quickly can you get back on? All right, so you're going to be off the horse. Everybody's going to be off the horse. The question is how quickly can you get back on? And how do you keep that attitude, that good attitude? I went and visited my daughter, and I wasn't feeling particularly good, and I ate too much, right? And I gained, like, 4 pounds, and I'm, like, got on the scale today. I was back on my bike, and this afternoon I'll be out playing, you know, I'll play tennis. So I'm back on the horse, you know? Here's the point. When you have rituals that you believe in and are part of your life, you feel bad when you don't do them. As long as you feel bad when you don't do them, you'll keep doing them. Right? It's when you really don't want to do it and there's no way to keep yourself, to get yourself back on the horse. And then you never get on the horse. That's when you're in trouble. That's when they're not really rituals.
Yeah, because you don't know how far off you're going to go. There's nothing in place to get back. There's no horse to get back on.
Yeah, there's no horse. The horse is gone. He's been away.
Yeah.
So look, all we're all fallible human beings. We all get sick. We all have problems. We all have children. We have these things. And the question is, you know, okay. Life showed up. We dealt with it. We're good. Everybody better? Okay. Even though I feel I'm not strong anymore like I was, back on the horse. All right. Work out for 15 minutes. Work out for 20 minutes. Work out for half an hour. Work out for 40 minutes. And then you're back to your regular routine.
Before you know it, yes.
Yeah. So don't kill yourself. Just pat yourself on the back and congratulate yourself for getting back on the horse. But try and have your weekly meetings together, even if you're not having the success. You say, well, why should we meet if we're not being successful? Because it's going to be our own personal pep talk, okay? To say, okay, we get it. This is our meeting. Okay, we didn't do it, but you know what? We're still good. We got plenty of time this year. Plenty of time to catch up. So let's go. So you got to hold yourselves accountable and help yourself and congratulate yourself and support yourself. And, you're going to be 10 times better than the other guys that get off and never get back on, right? You've been to the gym, right?
Yeah.
How long does it take before it's empty? Yeah, so January is full. February is half full. By March, it's empty.
I'm the opposite. I like to start around March or April.
Get the rest, right? Yeah. Less crowded. Yeah. No, that's good. I think this will be fun. You know, and then it's, all right, so the kind of the final thing is, okay, can you articulate a success story that came from Supernova?
Well, we've worked with, you know, a few clients that are going through transition, whether it be retirement or divorce or, you know, different things going on in their life. And you know, at the end of, you know, this year when we had been working with them, you know, for a year doing this process, a few of them, you know, took the time out of, you know, our meeting, at the end of our meeting, to thank me for helping them walk through this process, that how thankful they were that we had these monthly calls to help them, you know, transition and give them confidence as they were going through this, you know, this change in their life.
Really good, really good. What else? Anything that was in, like, this guy, you know, he was on the fence, you know, once one's on the fence and now he's brought in all his money, or this guy referred this guy to me because he loves what we're doing and so forth. Anything like that?
Well, actually, for me, the biggest success was being able to fire the client I fired last week.
Yeah, but that's not the crowd wants to hear assets coming in or increased revenue or managed money. It's something that can be quantified and then they can relate it to their practice. So I would say didn't Ben grow bring in all the
stuff. We
have a client who was in the middle of a divorce. And it's actually when we first started the program. And I'll have to go back and see how much she brought in. But she brought in
She brought close to a million, and she's bringing in another few $100,000 this year now from the settlement.
Has brought in more than that? We have to go back and look, Ron.
And the idea would be, you know, maybe she wasn't. I mean, she loved you before and she loves you now. She brought in a million. It's not really a dramatic story. You know, if she was on the fence and wasn't quite sure what she was going to do, then it's a good story.
No, it's actually because a lot of our clients said, you know, you're doing a lot of these things. Like, a lot of our clients loved us before and, you know, love us now, but they love us now even more. So we don't really have a story of on the fence type of person.
Oh.
Okay. Okay, and you had some people that you were meeting with on acquisition that, you know, were potentially new clients that sounded pretty good. Any of those turn out to be good or not?
Well, did you bring in Morel? No.
Yeah, but the clients that I brought in, you see, there's a lot of success stories and referrals, but these are not our clients. These are our clients that we brought in for that other partnership, so we can't just, you know, discuss those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I brought in $2 million,
a $5 million. I guess I met with how much is she? She's like 900,000.
$1 million.
But these are all not in our number. I mean, we're meeting with them, we're doing the calls, we're doing all of it, but like, This is a million dollar client. Rich put her on Supernova, but this is not our client. We're not getting, Rich had like a 1% pick on that account. So we're not adding that part of the business, we're not adding anyone else on Supernova because it doesn't make sense. But on our book, we don't have any stories like that, no.
Okay.
So probably that would not be a good question for us.
Well, then let's talk about your revenues. You had a good year, right? And your revenues were up?
Yeah, we were up about 15%, I think, what was it?
Mm-hmm.
About 20%, with, you know, cutting over 100 clients from our book. So.
Well, that's a great story. Okay? That right since what you said. We're up 20% even though we cut 100 clients from our book. People are going to be like, what? Okay? So, how much were you up in assets?
We're kind of flat because of that 401k we have that ended up getting rid of a lot of clients. A lot of our participants.
This is a Brazilian.
But we did bring in about, you know, if we were to take that out, we brought in about $3 million.
Okay, good.
On our book.
But that was a big loss. Although the plan is actually up, they had, how much was it when you reviewed it?
About 11 million.
They had about 11 million
out the door
in that plan. Even though the assets stayed the same, they had about $11 million worth of participants in that plan.
About them. And that shows up on our asset stream.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I think we'll stay with that 20% and cutting 100 clients. It's just a good dramatic ending, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Questions for me?
No,
I don't have any questions. I mean, I think this is great. I really like the fact that we have these monthly calls because they kind of get our mind back into like, put us back on track, get us back on the horse.
No, it's true. I mean, let's face it. We all have, you know, I've had a personal trainer for 30 years now, all right? And why would I need a personal trainer? Do I not? That's slow a learner. It's not because I don't know how to do the exercises, right? It's because she shows up. And I do the work, then. So it's just a way of not having to do it all yourself, you know. Hire people. It's my team. Anytime you can get somebody else to do it for you, great, do it. And anytime you can hire somebody to hold you accountable, it just takes a little bit of the worry and sweat off your back. Because you don't have to be so disciplined, you know. Even though you have the rituals, having that person show up, that mutually beneficial arrangement is good for both people. She makes some money, I hold myself accountable. She makes me do some things, she always has some new exercises, it's always interesting. And she keeps me young and strong. So that's the game, right? Is it worth? I call it life insurance that pays off before you die. So that's what I am. I'm kind of business insurance that pays off before you die.
Okay.
just to make sure you stay on track. And that's the second part of, you know, I can teach you Supernova, but even though, just like working out, you know how to do the exercises, but having a coach hold you accountable can make the difference between winning a case and not winning a case. Because you're doing it. Because, you know, you've got the coach looking at you. You've got the coach showing up. And so you're going to be better because of it. So I like it. I think it's worth it. So I appreciate the fact that you think it's worth it, too.
Yeah.
And you could, I will let you say that, by the way, if you want to.
When we're done with the gear, well, we can discuss that as we get closer to see if we can, if we continue to work with you.
Have we done that
and how does that work?
Yeah, it works great. I've been working with one guy for 8 years and, you know, I just enjoy him. He enjoys me. It's kind of painless and I look forward to the call. So it's
a slow learner, huh?
Another slow learner. He doubled his business twice. So he's slow learner, but and I keep pushing him, you know. He's doing 850, he's doing 3+ million now and I'm bugging him to do 6 million, you know.
Yeah.
Right. And he's only got two, he's a sole proprietor with two assistants, you know. So it's not a big team. He's never had more than 100 clients, so it's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah. And he wasn't there before, trust me. All right. Well, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon. All right, talk to you Friday. All right, look forward to seeing you Friday. Bye-bye.
All right.